watch that. That was incredible. But the most incredible part to me was when Brother Thompson walked out. No one was paying attention. People were just kind of doing their own thing. And and the power of God fell in that room. I watched as he led us into worship. I watched as lives in a moment were transformed by that man's ministry, by his vision. I'll never be the same. I'll never lead worship the same. I'll never minister the same. I never want to forget that moment. And I want that here. Pastor, I want that here. I want that here. I want whoever's behind this pulpit that had to feel that anointing that was in that house yesterday. Whoever's behind these instruments, whether it be Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, Saturday, whatever service we're having, I want Brother Williams to feel that anointing. I want Sister Wanda to feel that anointing when she's playing. I want them to feel led. If things got to get changed up, things got to get changed up. I'm never going to be the same. I watched the altar workers as they came forth, and I watched as they came very respectfully, and they were instructed the night before. They had a whole clinic on how to pray people through. I watched it one after one after one. Within 10 minutes, like I said earlier, 35 people were filled. By the end of the altar service, it was 65. I heard less than that. I was just wanting to. It was 65 people. I believe it was less than an hour. And there wasn't this travailing. There wasn't this begging. There wasn't this, you were there, you saw it. It was just magnifying Jesus. It wasn't this, oh, woe is me. I can never get it right. I thought something wrong on the way up. No, it was just, I'm just going to get my eyes fixed on Jesus. And I'm going to repent of my sin. And as soon as that happened, I watched it one after another, after another, after another, after another, after another. To my right, I watched two women get up out of their wheelchairs. I watched it happen. I know Bishop Ellis came beside me. He said, are you okay? I want to know if something was going on with me. And I wasn't really okay, but I told him I was because I just watched something happen. I've never seen that before. So we got home, and I got to tell you, I couldn't sleep. I tossed and turned. I went to bed around 11:30. Lord held me up at 12. The Lord uses Sophia as my alarm clock now. She was up at 2 last night. Popped the bottle in her mouth. I was like, I'm up. I might as well pray. And I began to just intercede. I'm not wanting to make this about me, but I want to make this statement. If the power of God can affect someone like me, it can affect someone like you in your situation, whatever you're at. You know, Sister Tracy at the bank, you're still at the bank. The power of God can move in that bank. The power of God can move wherever you're at. As Pastor mentioned this morning, this wasn't Africa or Asia. I hear about the stories of Billy Cole ministries and how 100,000 people were filled with the Holy Ghost in a crusade. This was just about an hour or so off of 90 at the Masonic Center. This was our city, our region. So I began to pray last night. And Pastor, I began to ask, why not North Point? Why not here? Why does it just have to be once a year that we see 112 kids show up at the church on a Sunday or on a weeknight? Now, I know we're not equipped for that, Pastor. I realize that. I realize we're going to have workers, and we're going to have staffing, and we're going to have an expanded center over there where we can house them all and put them all. Why not here? See, I'm aware of how modern churches tend to be establishing themselves. See, what they do is they do a little bit of outreach and some giveaways. They've got some giant screens in their sanctuaries and smoke machines and bands and concert lining and a lot of marketing and branding. And you get the right charismatic leader, you've got yourself a church. But see, Pastor, that's not what the Bible tells us. It's nice to have that stuff. They're tools to be used in an appropriate way. Be kind of weird having a smoke machine, though, as pastor starts preaching in the little elevator as he... I'm not against any of those churches that do that. What they feel to do, they do. I'm not calling anyone out. But I'm saying the tools that we have here. Silver and gold have I none. We just have the name of Jesus. I wish we had a multi-million-dollar facility, and I wish we had all these things. I wish we had a real prayer room that we could go to. I wish we had a choir room. I wish we had a choir. I wish we had folks that an art ministry. I wish we had all these different things, but I'm sorry, we don't. We just have Jesus. We just have Jesus. We just have a faith in the Word. With silver and gold have I none. I keep on saying that out loud because I want to tell you that you may feel like, well, you know, I don't have it together like so-and-so. I don't have it together like Sister Irma. I don't have it together like Pastor. I don't know my word like Brother Lou, but silver and gold have I none. I just have a simple faith. See, I'm not satisfied with church without the fire. Those things I mentioned before are nice, but I've got to have the fire. This city can go without the show, but they're lost without knowing the great shepherd. This region is fine without giveaways and fine without parties, but if we fail to bring them Jesus, we've done them no good. I've seen it advertised, a book called Heaven is for Real. And I realized that due to marketing purposes, that's why they named it the way it is, because if you named it anything else, it wouldn't sell. I've not read it myself. I may get a chance. But I also know that there's hell that's real. There's a book that should be called Consequences to Sin. There's books called Keeping Your Marriage Together. Divorce isn't the only option. And see, what this era needs more than anything, as much as I love my pastor and his preaching and his ministry, we need Jesus. As much as I love our music and I love how we reach people through that, if they don't feel Jesus, I don't want it. I love our VBS. It's one of the most spectacular things that this church that puts on every year. But if our kids can't feel Jesus, then all we're doing is just running ourselves ragged, trying to build up some points, making us look good. After what I experienced firsthand, yesterday, I can stand here today to tell us loud and tell us proud that the winds of revival are blowing. And revival is at hand here at North Point. I believe that. It's not just an emotional thing. I believe that. Why do I believe that? Because I also feel the resistance. Where I know there's revival, there's going to be resistance. I don't get much into dreams, but I had a dream a few nights ago, and I won't go into all of it, but basically, it was the enemy on display showing how he can just ask people to give up their lives, and they do it willingly for nothing. And I spoke to the voice in my dream and I said, this can't be real. And I heard laughing. And it says, I heard the voice say, it's all too easy. And then I woke up. Now, Pastor, that was just a dream. And that meant, hey, it's just a dream. I don't want you to look too deeply into that. But that's something that's resonated with me. That folks are just willing to give their lives and give their souls to heaven or to hell for a little bit of pleasure, for a little bit of success, for just a little bit. I'm getting to some scripture here in a moment. I just want to lay a foundation to let you know where I'm going here. Let me explain it this way. I also believe that revival, that the way we're going to see in this church is something that is much like when vapors begin to collect. Where I work at UPS, I work out of a facility and we deal with hazardous chemicals. And we have special fans that are placed throughout the facility that we have to make sure that are getting inspected. And they take all these vapors out of the building. Why is that? Because if you were happen to get a vapor leak and someone ignite a spark, there would be an explosion. We have so much exhaust fumes. We have so many vehicles and things in that facility. If it becomes enclosed, there would be an explosion if there was a spark. So we have to make sure we get those things out. But see, I think it also works. We're going to see it working in reverse. See, Pastor, over the last few years, we've been praying. You and your wife have been here on Tuesdays when I've been too busy. We've had other folks begin to pray. We have add to that some more prayer and add to that some more prayer. And then we do a VBS and we get through the VBS and we learn some things. And next thing you know, a year or two later, we get a bus. And it's beginning to build. 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 And there's going to be a point where there's going to be the right conditions. And there's going to be a spark in those conditions. And I'm here to tell us there's going to be a Holy Ghost explosion around here like folks have never seen before. And they're going to wonder, why did that happen? It just seemed like it just happened all of a sudden. All of a sudden it just happened. No. See, about 9, 10 years ago, Pastor and Sister Irma came to the church and they began to work and one thing led to another. People added this and added that. We got a senior ministry. We put this together. And next thing you know, but I said all that to say this. I just want to talk about God for a minute. I don't know how we're going to end this service tonight. I think we're just going to crash it into the mountain and we're just going to start praying. I think the Holy Ghost is going to fall. Is that okay? Because I want to talk about God here for a minute. See, in Hebrews 12 and 29, it says, our God is a consuming fire. Numbers 23 and 19, it says, God is not a man. He does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. He has never spoken. Has he ever failed to act? Has he ever made a promise he's not carried through? See, the God I serve doesn't go back on promises. See, the God is giver of territory. Deuteronomy 1 and 2, get this. I said to you, you have reached the hill country of the Amorites, that the Lord our God is giving us. See, God has already knows the territory he has staked out for you. God is nearest when we call. In Deuteronomy 4 and 7, for what great nation has our God, has a God as near to them as the Lord our God is near to us whenever we call on him? Doesn't the Bible say, call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved? Doesn't the Bible say, don't we say that, sing that song, blessed be the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. That's the God that we serve. The Lord your God is a devouring fire. He's a jealous God. Deuteronomy 4:31. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon you or destroy you or forget the solemn covenant he made with your ancestors. We serve a God of mercy. Deuteronomy 7:21 says, do not be afraid of those nations, for the Lord your God is among you. He is a great and awesome God. We serve a God who's among us. Does anyone believe that tonight? Does anyone believe that the Lord is here in this house tonight? Deuteronomy 7:21, 8 and 7 says, for the Lord your God is bringing you into the land, good land of flowing streams and pools of water with fountains and streams that gush out in the valleys and hills. The Lord is not taking you to a place of destruction. This is not a name and a claim at God. This is not a, oh, if I just do these three things, then I'm going to get my blessing. No. It's deeper than that. God is taking you to a better place. Deuteronomy 9:9-3, it says, but recognize today that the Lord your God is the one who will cross over ahead of you like a devouring fire to destroy them. He will subdue them, that will quickly conquer them and drive them out, just as the Lord has promised. As Brother Fleming mentioned, what's going on in Iraq, we've also seen headlines as these militants fire missiles into Israel. And they have said that the hand of God has blocks missiles. They fire missiles and they go off course. See, we serve a God of protection. We serve a protecting God. I don't know if this is what you were expecting on a Sunday night, but we're talking about Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 20:4 says, for the Lord your God is going with you. He will fight for you against your enemies, and he will give you victory. Job 9:4 says, for God is so wise and so mighty, who has ever challenged him successfully? Psalm 7:9-10, it says, God is my shield, saving those whose hearts are true and right. Psalm 7:11 says, God is an honest judge. He is angry with the wicked every day. Psalm 14:5 says, terror will grip them, for God is with those who obey them. This is the God that we serve. Psalm 18:2 says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my Savior. My God is my rock, in whom will I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. Let's just lift up a hand and begin to magnify the God of safety, the God of my fortress, God who is my deliverer, God who is your protector in the time of trouble. I praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 For who is God except the Lord? Who but our God is a solid rock? Psalm 46:1, for the choir director, a song of the descendants of Korah to be sung by the soprano voice. This is a choir song. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. Psalm 47:7 says, for God is the king over all the earth. Praise him with a psalm. But God is my helper. Psalm 54:4, the Lord keeps me alive. Psalm 56:9 says, my enemies will retreat when I call to you for help. This I know, God is on my side. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is on my side. Say it like you believe it. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 That's a God that we serve. That's a God that we serve. That's a God that you serve. That's a God of today. This isn't just a God of the Old Testament or God of the history books, God of legends. No, this is the God of the here and now. Hallelujah. 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 I just want to encourage someone's faith tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't serve a bland God. We don't just come to church on Sunday night and Sunday morning for just a ritual and just because. We don't get together on Wednesdays to hear a Bible study just because. We serve a living God. We serve a living God. I love Pastor's message. I believe it was last week, and I've been chewing on it for a while, is that we've got to start putting boots on the ground. We can pray, and we can pray those big bomb prayers, those airstrikes, but it's time that we start getting boots on the ground. This is the kind of God that we serve. If we know that is the God that we serve, then wow, our faith is going to be increased. Our faith is going to be increased. My faith is going to be increased. I watched a woman get out of a wheelchair and dance before the Lord. My faith was increased. I saw someone who was struggling, getting filled with the Holy Ghost, and a guy just came over and just tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Be filled," and he began to speak with other tongues. My faith was increased. My faith was increased. Someone here needs to have their faith increased. Someone here who needs to help someone else increase their faith. Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. Hallelujah. I hope I can get this out the way I'm feeling it. But there's one thing as we bring this to a conclusion. There is one thing I felt to write, and there's one warning. Pastor, we heard this yesterday, and I just felt like I needed to reshare this today. We need to guard ourselves against one thing. Everyone say one thing. We must guard against disunity. We must guard against disunity. This is the church, but we are the church. I'm not the church by myself doing my own little thing. You're not the church, Brother Lou, doing your own little thing. We are one body. And when you hurt, I hurt. And when you rejoice, I rejoice. And if you're having success, I'm having success. And if I'm struggling, I need to be able to lean on someone to be able to lean on them and say, "Hey, I'm struggling, miss. I'm struggling. I need to trust that you're not going to gossip about me and because I'm really struggling in this area. And I need to have that trust. And you know what? I trust you. You're struggling in an area. Pastor, you know, you come to me with something. And, you know, I tell you what, it's between me and God. I'm just going to pray. If I see something going on, I'm going to be appropriate, but I'm going to take it to God." This is one church. We are one church. We are one church. To say that, we are one church. We are unified. We are unified in our victory. We are unified in our setbacks. But this is one church. This is one church. We serve one God who has one church. We've got to be careful. The Bible tells us, it says, "Now behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in" what? Unity, or in harmony. "It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, and even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore." There is a blessing in unity. I didn't get too many amens on that. But there's a blessing when we have unity. I'm here to tell you, I'm here in unity. I'm here to submit to the man of God, and I'm here to serve each and every one of you in every way that I can. We've got to be unified. We've got to have a unified direction. We have to have a unified vision. And if that unified vision isn't Jesus Christ, then we're all in trouble. I'm going to read some a final passage as we conclude tonight. And this is a passage of scripture. Maybe you want to jot some of these scriptures down and read them on your own on the way tomorrow, this week, in 2 Timothy. As Paul is writing one of his, I like to call them his prodigals. You can have a whole book written about what I'm about to read. You can volumes have been written about this. But I just want to read this and give us some perspective. 1 Timothy 1 and 5. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And now that same faith continues strong in you. And I just want to stop right there. I just want to stop right here. And I want to point out Timothy's heritage. I've done a little study. The scholars tell us that Timothy's dad was a Greek. He was not a believer. But his mother was. So there was a divided family, a divided home. And yet, he was able to be raised to be a great man of God. Food for thought. This is why I remind you to fan the flames that the spiritual gift of God has given you when I lay my hands on you. And tonight, that's all I want to do. I just want to fan some flames that are already on you. I just want to fan some flames, some burdens, some new burdens, some old burdens. I pray for a fresh fire tonight. So never be ashamed to tell others about our God. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength that God gives you, be ready to suffer for me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ. And now he has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and the illuminated way of life and the immortality through the good news. And God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of this good news. And this is why I'm suffering here in prison. I am not ashamed of it, for the one in whom I trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. Hold on to the pattern of the wholesome teaching you've learned from me, a pattern shaped by the faith and love you have in Christ Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. I just want to let this church know that we are going to guard the pattern, but we're going to take some new territory. Some may be in prison, but we are going to take some new territory. Some folks may not like it. We may find stories of persecution in the United States. It's not a good thing to hear. But we're going to take new territory. Amen. Let's all stand. I told you I was going to crash land it. I want to increase our faith tonight. Amen. Amen.